Good morning. I will confess I am, for the first time, a little anxious to talk. The title, we'll get to why I'm a little anxious. The title of my message today is Compassion Minus Fear Equals Creative Nonviolent Resistance. The subtitle could be, I don't like talking about myself. That's why I'm a little bit anxious. You see, recently I've had more than a several number of church folks tell me that I am not very good at tooting my own horn. And it's true. The fact is that the talk that I gave last week at this gathering was a little bit about how we sometimes find it difficult to receive compliments. And honestly, that was aimed a bit at myself. I'm working on that. I really am anxious. This is weird. I'm not used to being a little nervous. So today, I would like to talk a little bit about me, something that I don't do much in our talks. Now, not because I'm very narcissistic or anything, although I think all of us are probably a little bit narcissistic, but because I think it will end up being important in terms of the thing that I want us to talk about today. It's also sort of forcing me to step out of my comfort zone, which in some ways this is ultimately about as well. So, a big part of why I'm here at Presbyterian Church of the Covenant is because I am what my kids call Facebook famous. Now, that shouldn't actually be confused with actually being famous. I mean, look at me, I'm not that kind of guy at all. For a matter of fact, just the way my kids say it, oh yeah, you're Facebook famous. You got to keep the eye roll in when you do that. It makes it really clear that I shouldn't let it go to my head in any way whatsoever. But because of my social media presence, I was contacted by some of the folks here at Presbyterian Church of the Covenant to see if I might be interested in applying to serve. Now, about 6 years ago, there is no way anyone would have reached out to me and invited me to participate in their spiritual community or spiritual event. I mean, at that point, I was serving at a somewhat conservative church and was having problems getting some of my congregants just to attend on a regular basis. Compare that to now. I write for the Huffington Post, have my own blog with literally millions of readers a year. I write for Bishop Spong's newsletter. I've been featured on NPR and PBS. I've won a national award for my article on the war on Christmas. I was invited by Church World Services to be a part of a D.C. summit on immigration. And a few years ago, I was the minister at South Carolina's Gay Pride Weekend, gave several talks, and presided at its annual worship event. I even have this, like, big-time book agent, so hopefully that happens soon. Now, it sounds like I'm bragging. Well, like I said, we're all a bit narcissistic, so maybe I was just a little bit. But my real purpose is to establish that something changed for me 6 years ago. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about it because I believe that everyone here probably has something about which they are passionate. I suspect that each person here has at least one thing, one topic, one issue about which that they'd like to make a difference, to affect change, to make things better. Ultimately, my hope is that some of you might be encouraged by my story, and a few more voices will be added to the movement. So, let's jump back to 6 years ago. I was writing a blog, and basically, other than myself, nobody cared that I was writing a blog. Now, looking back, they really shouldn't have. But that all changed one day with a single blog post. And it's been pretty much nonstop ever since that day. Anybody remember Terry Jones? Terry Jones is, what's that? The Baptist church minister down in Florida? Yeah. So that was about 6 years ago. And I was honestly trying to play the church game that a lot of ministers do of saying just enough to push people, but not enough to upset people. And like I said, I was at a sort of conservative church, and I was feeling a little bit like I wasn't being honest enough about myself and who I was. And the news of Terry Jones came around, and it just started bothering me. I remember I was sitting at my desk at work at the church office, and was just beside myself that I wasn't hearing many people speak out about it. So I decided, I took a Bible, the first Bible I had ever been given, and it was the one that had gone with me and everywhere I'd gone, even to college. And I wrote Terry a note. And basically just said, look, if you're going to burn the sacred text of my Abrahamic brothers and sisters, I want you to burn this book with it. It's the most sacred text that I have. It's been with me my whole life. And I took a picture of it and posted it on my blog post like I tended to do with just about anything, expecting nothing to happen. Unexpectedly, it kind of blew up. Before it was all over, there were radio stations calling and asking me about it. There were other, because I invited other people to do the exact same thing. And ultimately, it made it all the way across the nation. I had radio station from Washington State calling and asking about it. Local radio stations came and interviewed us about it. And one of the most amazing stories was about a young woman who had converted from Islam to Christianity. And she sent Terry the Bible that her Islamic brother gave her when she converted over, which is a powerful, powerful image. We have no idea how Terry responded, but what did happen was a lot of people started paying attention to what I was saying all of a sudden. Now, for me, the thing that changed was much more than an increase, though, in my readership. For me, the most important thing that changed was me. I stopped being afraid. Fear is a killer. Fear limits us and it constrains us. Fear controls us. It prevents us from doing the right thing. And it convinces us to do the reasonable thing or to not rock the boat. Now, it is important to say at this point that while being less afraid is typically a good thing, being less afraid without compassion, that just turns you into a bigger bully. And being less afraid without a little thought and reflection, well, that just turns you into a bull in a china shop. What I'm talking about is ability to be less afraid of what will happen to you, what people will think of you, how they might shun you or make fun of you. Being less afraid of those things for the sake of something, for the sake of something that you are passionate about. And like I said, I believe that everyone here has something that they're passionate about and would like to positively affect change about that thing. I'll give you an example of what that looks like, to set aside your fears and to thoughtfully try to affect change. Does anyone remember another pastor? Pastor Charles Worley. Remember hearing about him at all? He was a North Carolina pastor, actually. Pastor Worley, about 4 or 5 years ago, made a big YouTube video of one of his sermons that went viral. And he basically said that being gay was evil and that what we needed to do was to get two big fenced-in areas. And we would put all the gay men in one place and all the gay women in another place. And that way, he said this, that way they can't reproduce more gay kids. So we decided that maybe Pastor Worley could use a little bit of education. And so I started an online campaign asking folks to go out and pick their favorite LGBT support group, whether it was about education, whether it was fighting for particular rights, and to make a donation. And the little twist was we asked them to make a donation in honor of Pastor Worley. Now, this did several things. We raised I heard back from several of these places, actually. We know we raised over $25,000 for LGBT rights and the education about LGBT issues. But what it also ended up doing, intentionally, was it put Pastor Worley on their mailing list. So he received educational material on a regular basis about LGBT issues. Now, for me, the most important part of what we did was the spirit in which it was done. We didn't try to bring harm to him or to shut his church down. We responded to hate speech with love. We took something negative and bad and we used it to energize something good. And it was just a bonus that he received so much educational material about LGBT equality. I think of that kind of response as creative, nonviolent resistance. Too frequently, we think the only possible response to hate are to either return the hate or to sort of be pacifist and that we are nice and either ignore it or do little to confront it. I think that the example that Jesus set for us is something somewhere in the middle of those two responses. And it's what I described in both of my stories about Terry Jones and Pastor Worley. It's creative, nonviolent resistance. It's actually the same operating principle that people like Gandhi and Martin Luther King worked from. Now, admittedly, what I've been talking about is nowhere on the same level that they did, but it's an important thing to remember is when we approach hate this way, we do so in the footsteps of giants. And I think that's important. Confronting hate can feel like a dangerous thing to do. You will get negative reactions from all sides. The people who agree with the group that you are confronting will do everything they can to shut you down. I've even literally received death threats. And at the same time, even the people who are on your side might become uncomfortable with the tension that you are creating and will tell you not to rock the boat, that you're going to bring too much attention to yourself, and a whole list of subtle pressures to try to get you to stop. And that's part of why it's important to remember that confronting hate in this way has worked over and over again for some of the most iconic people in the world when it comes to positively affecting change. I think that just leaves me with the question, why has that kind of thing led people to actually somehow go overnight to caring about what I had to say? I can't say that I actually completely understand it, but I can tell you what I think it is. It seems to me that this thing of being passionate about something and wanting to affect change and being willing to be creative and thoughtful about how you do it, and not being afraid of the social pressures that collude to stop you seems to be something that doesn't happen a lot. And because of that, it tends to catch people's attention. Now, why I think all of this is important is because of the thought I had one summer about 5 years ago. I was lucky enough to be having lunch with Diana Butler Bass and a couple of other people at Liberty Oak right here downtown. And someone said, what we need is another Martin Luther King. To which I quickly replied, I don't know, in the age of social media and networking, I don't think that a single person is going to be the next MLK. I think the next MLK is all of us. Diana immediately chimed in saying that she thought that was probably right, and being a very big fan of Diana's, I've been promoting that perspective ever since. What we need now are a bunch of people who are willing to be passionate about something and want to affect change and are willing to be creative and thoughtful about how they go about confronting that hate and who won't be afraid of all the social pressures that collude to stop them. And we need people who will not do it just once or every now and then, but over and over again. So I'd like to conclude simply by asking you to consider if that might be something you'd be willing to do. If you might be willing to become one of the voices that collectively are the next Dr. King, because if we ever hope to move on issues like LGBT equality, racism, greater inclusivity between religions, voter rights, hunger and homelessness, and the list will go on and on. If we ever want to move on issues of equality and justice, if we want to move them forward, it's going to take every voice that we can gather. And it's my hope that some of you will choose to be part of that movement.